building principles of intimacy, or for intimacy, with God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go back to our foundation scripture, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Just to recap, you know, I'm going to read the scripture first, and then we will recap, and then we're going to move from that and continue on what we started on Sunday. Amen. Talking about the power of the secret place, which is a principle. If we use the secret place and operate in the secret place. Amen. And just to let you know, the things that I'm teaching tonight falls up under those four principles for building intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the first principle? Somebody tell me the first principle. It's the what? The principle of loss. The principle of loss means that you cannot gain your life or find your life as a Christian. Somebody say, as a Christian. If you're going to truly be an effective Christian, you first have to operate in the principle of loss. Jesus said that if you're going to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross. What does the cross represent? The Bible talks about the cross being the place or the stake of execution. The cross is not the place where you look at what Jesus done for you, because it goes beyond that. Yes, Jesus died on behalf of all of mankind, but it's more than just his death. You and I have to take up our cross. The cross is the place where we identify with his death. That means that I was crucified with Christ. Amen. So in order for me to be an effective Christian, I have to operate in this first principle, the principle of loss. That means I got to gain my life, and I want to gain my life. I want to be successful. I want to be what God called me to be. But in order for me to do it God's way, I have to first lose my life. Somebody say, lose my life. The reason why many people haven't found their life is because they haven't been willing to lose their life. What's the second principle? The principle of have and keep. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he that hath my word and keeps my word. Somebody say, keep my word. That means every single day you have to guard the word of God in your life. You got to guard what gets into your eye gate. Guard what gets into your ear gate. Guard what comes out of your mouth. You got to have the word and you got to keep the word. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to keep the word. He said, he that hath my word and keeps my word, it is him or her that loves me. And he said, my Father will in return love them because they have my word and they keep my word. He said, then I will also love them. And then he said something powerful. He said, I will come and I will make myself plainly seen to them. And see, many people say, I want to see Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Well, the way that you know Jesus is by operating this have and keep principle. Amen. You got to have his word and keep his word, because the Holy Spirit will never teach you anything about Jesus outside of the written word of God. I said this two Sundays ago, that most of us are used to hearing the word, or yeah, hearing the logos word of God, but God wants to cross us over to the place where we get the rhema word of God, where the scripture begins to talk back to us. Not us just reading this like it's some type of novel or some type of book, but now the Holy Spirit begins to say, son or daughter, this is what I was trying to say about this right here. And the closer you get to God, what happens is that he begins to reveal himself more and more and more to you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, have and keep. What's the next principle? The third one. What's the third one? I love this one right here. The principle of willful surrender. If you're going to build intimacy with God, the Holy Spirit, you have to operate in this principle of willful surrender. Willful surrender is a result of first receiving God's love and appropriating God's love unto yourself. What does that mean? God doesn't love you based upon your actions. God doesn't love you based upon your color. God doesn't love you based upon what you did or what you did not do. God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally means that the conditions do not determine or base God's love upon what you're going through. So that means that whether you're bad, whether you're good, whether you're ugly, whether you're not ugly, whether you're skinny, whether you're tall, whether you're black, whether you're white, God loves you. Amen. Come on, tell yourself, say, God loves me. Now, you got to appropriate that unto yourself. Amen. You got to be cocky about it. Every time, you know, the enemy was trying to attack me today about something, and I just start speaking the word. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am under the influence of love. I'm under the control of love, because the enemy start telling me that God wasn't going to do something for me based upon something that I missed. Amen. And see, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's what Satan does. He constantly, consistently accuses you every single day to beat you down up under the guilt and the shame of your past and condemnation and fear and doubt and unbelief that God won't do what he said he will do. Amen. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. Tell him, say, that's a lie. That's a lie, lie, lie. God loves you. And you got to say that God loves me. It don't matter if nobody treats you good on planet Earth and nobody responds and acts like they love you. You got to have this mindset in you that God loves me. Come on, say that. Say, God loves me. My God, not based upon what you do or what you do not do. He just loves you. Amen. Matter of fact, he don't just love you. He is love. What's the last principle? The principle of cooperation. Now, the stuff that I'm going to be teaching today falls under this principle of cooperation. Amen? Listen to this. Let me help you understand this really, really, really easily. If you work for any type of corporation, you're going to have to learn how to cooperate. Amen? Cooperation equals teamwork. Cooperation equals submission. Cooperation equals willful surrender. Cooperation equals walking in love. Cooperation equals doing what you're told. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Cooperation means that you're operating together with somebody. So in order for you, watch this. This is what the scripture says, Amos 3:3. He's asking a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. Because if I want to go to the church house and you want to go to the crack house, at some point on our journey, we're going to split ways. Come on, somebody say amen. And see, that's how it is with God. In order for us to effectively know how to walk with God, we have to agree with God. This is the law of, or the principle of cooperation. Amen? So now, the things that I'm going to be teaching tonight, I'm going to get my foundation scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 on the count of three. Y'all there? You there? 2 Corinthians 13 and 14? It's up on the screen? Well, glory be to God. Amen. Look at verse 14. On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are not alone. You are not alone. You know what I love about this word alone? One of the first places that it was used was in the book of Genesis, where God looked at his man that he had made, his prize of creation, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Even from the very beginning, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, in the English language, we took two words and we squozed them together. The word alone means to be all one. Hear what I'm saying here? You are not by yourself. God is with you, not based upon your actions. Hear what I'm saying here? This is going to help you grow when you realize that God is with you all the time. He's with you when you make good choices. He's with you when you make bad choices. He's with you when you talk good. He's with you when you talk wrong. He's with you when you walk in love, and he's with you when you don't walk in love. How do you think you get that feeling of conviction on the inside of you when you do something wrong or you say something wrong to somebody? Remember, there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation will beat you down up on the ground, but conviction will draw you to God, and you say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to offend them, and I definitely don't want to offend you any longer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, you got to get this in your spirit. Say, God is with me. God is with me. I am not alone, not by myself. See, when you realize you're not by yourself in your journey, it didn't mean that you're going to just all the time in life just be a champion. Here's what I'm saying. There will be struggles. There will be trials. There will be tribulation. There will be persecution. There will be good things. There will be bad things that happen to you. But guess what? In all the things that you go through, you'll become more than a conqueror, because you cannot be separated from God's love in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is with you. You're not by yourself. Now, hear this word communion. Somebody say communion. This word communion means partnership. You and I were called or summoned into partnership with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at that right quick. We just want to make sure we lay this foundation properly as we move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. See, sometimes you just got to say that over and over and over and over and over again. Say that God is faithful. That means he's trustworthy. He's reliable. He can be depended upon. Amen. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Now, I know I have to say this sometimes because I failed people. I put my word out there sometimes and I've said things, amen, and tried to keep my word, and I wasn't able to keep my word for whatever the reason is. And you put your word out there sometimes and maybe perhaps you weren't able to keep your word, but God will never put his word out there and not keep his word. As a matter of fact, the book of Numbers says God is not a man that he should lie. Many people may have lied to you, but God is not a liar. Come on, say that. Say, God is not a liar. The Bible says here, he is faithful, by whom you were called. The word called means you were summoned. You were summoned. It's kind of like you've been subpoenaed. Amen. You have no choice. You have to go to the court date. Amen. You and I were summoned. We were subpoenaed or summoned into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship is the same word we use for communion. It's the word koinonia, which means partnership. Now say, I have been summoned into partnership with God Almighty. Now listen, God is with you whether you exercise the benefits of your partnership or not. Here's what I'm saying here. When you are in partnership with somebody or in covenant with somebody, amen, the word covenant means to cut. It means to cut. That's why when we were kids, you know, we'd stab our fingers or whatever and try to mix our blood and do our little blood covenants or whatever we used to call it when we were kids and stuff like that. But it literally means to cut. You're in covenant with God Almighty. What does a covenant mean? It means that whatever this party has, this party over here has it also. Whatever this party over here has it also. And then you have terms and agreements within the covenant that if you implement your side, the other party is now obligated to do their side. That's why God always uses that very small word, if you will hearken or listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. If you will do this or if you will do that, what will happen is he said, I will do this. I'll set you on high above all nations of the earth. Amen. I will do this. I will do that. So a covenant means that I do my part. Somebody say, I do my part. And then God does his part. Amen. Now, reason why covenant is so hard for us to understand nowadays is because we've been in so many broken covenants. There's so much divorce. There's so much parents are divorcing. Kids are divorcing their parents. Are you catching what I'm saying here? People don't have within themselves the ability to be consistent or stay in an agreement anymore. So what happens is that now when we come to church, we hear covenant. We already have a down feeling about covenant because we didn't grow up with a father. Or perhaps we didn't grow up with a mother, whatever the case may be. Amen. We don't understand covenant. Amen. And we're going to teach on that, but not tonight. Amen. But God will do what he said he will do. Amen. Here we go. Tatum said, neighbor, you're about to get help tonight. You are about to get help tonight. You are called into partnership. So tonight we're going to talk about building principles of intimacy, but I'm going to talk about four things that I talked about Sunday to help you operate and cooperate with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's going to get deep up in here. I'm going to say some things that might make you say, Lord, have mercy. What kind of church is this? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Amen. Y'all there? Well, so what? I ain't there. I'm just messing around. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. On the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, I'm going to come back to the scripture when I talk about prayer. But I want you to see the principle right here. There's a couple things you want to extract out of this. Amen. Number one. Everybody say number one. God is in secret. Somebody say God is in secret. And God only, number two, only sees in secret. Say, God sees in secret. And then he rewards that which is done in secret. He rewards it openly. So God is in secret. Somebody say, God is in secret. God sees in secret. And that which he sees in secret, God rewards it openly. Now, I'm going to start from the end because most people, that's right where they are, where the reward is. The word reward means to recompense. It means to repay. It means to make compensation, or it means to make restitution for hurt or pain or damage done in one's life. Now, raise your hand if you ever had some hurt, some pain, some damage done in your life. Here's what happened. Generally, when people hurt us, when we experience pain from other people, or when other people damage us, amen, what happens is that we turn around and we operate like the old covenant. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We retaliate, amen. If a person cussed me out, I'm going to cuss them out more. If somebody smacked me upside the head, I'm going to drop kick them and knee them in the neck, chop them in the throat. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to poison them, amen, invite them to my house for some cookies on Halloween with some razor blades in it. If somebody do me wrong, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to do them wrong back, amen. Come on, somebody say amen. That's how most of us think. But you have to remember, the Bible says vengeance. Somebody say vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Now we're talking about this principle of cooperation. I have to learn how to cooperate with God Almighty when people are treating me wrong, when people are talking about me, amen. I got to learn how to walk together with the Holy Spirit so that I can't grieve the Holy Spirit, so that I don't quench the Holy Spirit, so that I don't resist the Holy Spirit, so that I don't stand against or oppose the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. I got to learn how to cooperate with him in the good and in the bad. It's easy to cooperate with him when you just got a check in the mail that you didn't know nothing about. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'll tithe. I'll give. Amen. Somebody sent you a $1,000 check. I'll cooperate. Amen. Pastor, guess what? The Lord sent me a blessing, and I'm going to tithe my tithe. But what about when your light bill is due and your gas bill is due and your rent is due and you're behind a month or two and God is saying tithe? You still got to know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God, listen, God never makes an excuse for obedience to his word. This is powerful, based upon your circumstance. God never makes an excuse for obedience to his word based upon your circumstance. That means your circumstance does not permit you to disobey God. And this is why many people can't grow and grow in their relationship with God Almighty, is because their obedience is based upon circumstance. Come on, somebody say amen. See, we teach him building principles of intimacy with God. You have to remember, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost can be grieved. He's not a ghost flying around. No, he's a person with a personality. God Almighty, amen. You are his image and likeness. So when people do you wrong, don't you hurt? When people give their word to you and don't bring it to pass, don't you hurt? Don't you get offended by people? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on, somebody do you wrong, somebody cuss you out, you just don't stand on the phone talking about, praise the Lord, hallelujah to Jesus. Somebody called me a filthy, disgusting person the other day on the telephone, amen. You know, said they was going to threaten to put me in the newspaper. I didn't just smile on the telephone and say, hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you for calling me filthy and disgusting. Number one, I'm not filthy. Number two, I'm not disgusting. If anybody ever been over my house, they see I'm not filthy and I'm not disgusting. But this person, through anger, tried to stab me in the heart with this sword and called me filthy and disgusting. And I had to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And even though in my heart, I wanted to go back to the hood. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm not your average pastor. Amen. I wasn't born with no silver spoon in my mouth. I go straight to the hood. Somebody say amen. I go straight to the hood. Matter of fact, I told a man probably about 6 months ago, I said, listen, I said, in your life, don't you ever cuss me out on the phone. See, people think I'm a soft, people say, you know, they think I'm soft. I'm not soft. I've been subdued by the power of the Holy Ghost. You got to hear what I'm saying. I've been subdued because back in the day, I would have knocked somebody upside the head. That's my wife, she'll tell you. I'd jump on somebody's leg and break their leg and do whatever I got to do because that's the kind of personality I had. Don't put no lick in me, boy. I get all licked up and I do something. Amen. I'm telling you, I will do something. I'm not trying to brag about, I'm just trying to show you. So I had to learn how to subdue my mind and subdue my thinking and subdue my personality to the person of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Ghost. So I'm on the phone and they calling me this and I'm saying, Lord, please help me. In my spirit, Lord, please help me because I don't want to, amen. You know, snap, crackle, pop. Into your morning, amen. But it was good though, it was good. Somebody say it was good. It's all, I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. Amen. I don't care where you come from. The Holy Ghost can help you. You can get a load of hand clap for that. I don't care what kind of background you got. Amen. If you're willing to submit to God, God will help you. Amen. So God, those three things. God is in secret. God sees what's done in secret, and he rewards it openly. The word reward means to recompense, to repay, to make compensation or hire. Watch this. Wages. And it also means to make restitution for hurt or pain or damage done. So God is the one that will take care of you, regardless of what people are trying to do to you. Now, that's what we want to bring out. Somebody said you got to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. There are four areas that he told us to cooperate with him. The first one is love. Somebody say love. This is powerful right here. The first one is love. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. Let's skip over here and look at this. This is some powerful stuff right here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. If you back up to verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." He said, "But I say unto you, love your..." Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's easy to love your family members. It's easy to love people that love you back. But Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. Enemies. Amen. Somebody say, love them. Love them. Amen. He said, love your enemies. He said, bless them. Look at this. Verse 44. Bless them. That means speak well of. Bless them that what? Curse you. That means when somebody cussing you out or cursing you or speaking degrading words to you, he didn't tell you to turn around and do the same thing they do. We're talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit here. Watch this. He said, you bless them. Watch this right here. He said, do good to them that what? That hate you. And pray for them that what? Despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, he going to tell me to love them that hate me, bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me, and then those that despitefully use me. You know what I mean? Lord, have mercy. That's some serious cooperation, ain't it? Now, why is this important? Why did Jesus get so detailed like this? He's going to answer it right here. He said, verse 45, let's read it together on count three. One, two, three. That ye may be the children of your which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. This is the kind of personality that your heavenly Father has. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God commended, or God displayed, or God exhibited his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That means in the worst state of mankind, God put his love on display and said, you know what? I'm going to find you in the worst condition that you are in, and I'm going to just put a douse of my love on you. You can curse me. You can talk about me. You can lie about me. You can cheat about me. Do you know what? That's the most grieving thing to the power of the Holy Ghost, that he's with us every single day. He lives in us. Somebody say, the Spirit of God is in me. And most people have no relationship with him. Amen. He loves us, stretches out all kind of, you know, love to us and concern and care, wants to teach us and show us things to come and transmit unto us that which is Jesus, giving us a powerful purpose in life, destiny in life, and most of us just ignore him. Amen? Amen. God put his love on display. Look at this right here, verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore what? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now I want you to circle the word perfect concerning love here. Because it's a misunderstanding in the body of Christ. Because most people will jump up and say, nobody is perfect but Jesus. But the scripture just totally cut the head off that devil. He said, you be perfect. Like your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Amen. Now, why do we have a hard time loving people or praying for people that despitefully use us and curse us? Why do we have a hard time blessing those that curse us? I'm going to tell you why. You ready? It's a four-letter word. Everybody say four-letter word. I'm teaching something. You better catch this tonight. It's the word fear. We always fear that we're going to lose something. We always fear what somebody going to think about us. Amen? Most of us fear that if we don't retaliate about somebody, people are going to think we soft. Amen. I remember one time some of the guys I grew up with, I'm not going to mention no names, but they were going to fight somebody. And this was in this city way back in 89, 90, somewhere around that, right before I got born again in 91. And I was here and I wasn't supposed to be here because I was on probation in Wayne County. And I had came here because I was doing what everybody else did, chasing my wife around. Amen. She wasn't my wife. She was my girlfriend back then. But I was chasing her around. Somebody said he was chasing her. Amen. I was running hard after the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was chasing her. Amen. But I was here and I knew I would get in trouble because, you know, I wasn't supposed to be here. And what happened was, is that they came to me and they wanted me to fight somebody with them. And now we used to doing that, everybody going out and fighting together with somebody. And I told them, I said, no, I'm not going to fight. You know what I mean? And they said, man, what's wrong with you? You done, you know, let her get to you, man. You done became, you know, and they said some other word, you know what I'm saying? And then they said, you done became soft like a pillow. You know what I mean? And you know what, that affected me. Because when I went up in that little studio apartment that my wife had, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, I went up in that apartment, I had to sit down, and the words were just running through my head. And guess what? All of a sudden, I wanted to jump up and prove myself. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know, because we fear what people think about us. If you're going to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, you got to get away from the fear of people. I'm going to tell you, because God will have you doing things that people won't understand. God will have you go in places that people won't agree with. God will have you saying things that other people won't agree with. Amen. Somebody say amen. If you're going to cooperate with God, you're going to have to get rid of the fear of man. Scientists call it, or counselors call it, androphobia, the fear of man. You cannot fear man. Now, I want you to see a scripture right here. Watch this right here. God told us to be perfect. Somebody say, God told us to be perfect. Now turn right here to 1 John. Turn to 1 John right quick. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. And let's get to verse 18. Let's look at verse 17. Look what it says here. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Now, how much fear is in love? But perfect love, or love that has been perfected. See, Jesus just told you right there to be perfect. Somebody say, be perfect. What he's telling you is to perfect your love walk. He said, love that has been perfected, it casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. Now, I want to speak something tonight. Some of you come to church with a smile on your face, and you go home and you've been tormented by Satan. You're tormented by the words of what your mama might have said years ago, or what your daddy might have said years ago, or maybe what your husband said to you. Maybe your wife, before she left you, maybe she said these words to you, vice versa, your husband. Maybe it could have been your boss. You're tormented by the things that other people have said to you. And guess what? That torment is birthed and built out of the spirit of fear. And God wants you delivered from fear tonight. You don't have to leave this place fearing anything or anyone ever, ever, ever again in Jesus' mighty name. Why? Because there is a love that can be put up, shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of God that will drive out all fear, evict all fear. Amen. You can put an eviction notice on the door of your mind and tell them, baby, you got to go. No more fear here. In Jesus' name. We're talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you got to be bold and you got to obey God, whether what your mama say, what your daddy say, what your husband say, what your wife say, what your friends say. You got to obey God. I'm not telling you to be in division, but guess what? Jesus said that when I come, he said, I'm going to cause division between a mother and her daughter, a father and his son. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. See, the word of God is a sword that will divide and make a distinction and make a difference. Matter of fact, it's called the sanctifying work of the word of God. The word sanctify means to separate. The more you allow God to get in you and work in you, he'll start separating you. See, God couldn't even use Abraham until Abraham obeyed the word of separation. He said, get out of your father's house, out of your kindred, out of your tongue, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. That's powerful, ain't it? That's powerful. And people say, I want to be used by God. And guess what God does? God responds with instruction. Well, Lord, I'm crying out for you to use me. And then he'll respond with instruction. He'll say, do this right here. And guess what he'll do? He'll wait for you to obey that. And based upon your obedience to that one little minor instruction that he gave you, guess what? Every single step of obedience that you take and make puts in the heart of God an attitude of trust and confidence in you and in me. I said this a few weeks ago. It's one thing for us to trust God, but it's another thing for God to be able to trust us. Lord, have mercy. That's powerful right there. And you got to evaluate yourself and ask yourself, can God trust me? Whoo. It's quiet in here, ain't it? Come on, ask yourself that. Think about it. Can God trust me? Can God trust me to be faithful? Can God trust me to be dependable? Can God trust me to be reliable? I can answer that question. All God got to do is go down to his underservants and ask them, is that person faithful? Is that person reliable? And if the underservant says no, then guess what? God can't trust you. That's kind of thick, ain't it? Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, we got to walk in love. He told us to love. And out of that love, we have a reward. There's a recompense. That means if somebody does me evil and I love them, God takes care of me. And I'm going to show it to you right quick. You ready? Watch this right here. Proverbs 25 and 22. I'm just going to show it to you. Turn it right quick. Proverbs 25 and 22. You ready for this? This is powerful. I'm probably going to stop right on this love right here because I don't think I'm going to get done. Proverbs 25 and 22. Let's look at verse 21. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Is it up on the screen, verse 21? Look what it says here. Take your neighbor. You ain't got to take care of yourself. God got your back. All you got to do is cooperate. Watch this, watch this, watch this instruction of cooperation right here in verse 21. He said, if your enemy be hungry, if your enemy be hungry, it says, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Now watch this right here. It's one thing to give your kids bread to eat and to give your kids water to drink. Matter of fact, it's another thing to invite pastor over and make him some chicken. Amen. With some biscuits and some gravy. You know, because you love pastor and pastor love you. But what about that person that just cussed you out? Invite them over for some chicken. They might not come because they know your past. You might put some rat poisoning in the chicken. Now watch this. This is powerful. This is a powerful principle. He said, if they're hungry and they're thirsty, give your enemy food to eat and water to drink. Watch this right here. Verse 22. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. Now he's telling you to do something totally contrary to what the world is telling you to do. You notice how this principle of cooperation is working right here? He's telling you that when somebody despitefully use you, pray for them. When somebody curse you, love them. Speak well of them. When somebody despitefully use you, you know what I mean? Be good unto them. When somebody is hungry and they're your enemy, amen, they treated you wrong. And guess what? Guess what? They deserve for you to retaliate against them. God said, don't retaliate. Here's what I want you to do. Whatever they ask you for, give it to them. He said, because as soon as you do that, now you move out of the class of man into the class of God. And all of a sudden, you enter into the rest of his word. And now you allow the word to work for you. Rather than you working to try to fix the problem. Hear what Pastor is saying tonight. Most of our problems continue because we're still trying to fix them. We are or have become Holy Ghost Junior. We're trying to change people, trying to change us, trying to change circumstances, trying to change everything. And the Spirit of God just wants us to step back and just cooperate. Watch this. One little small step of obedience to what God says, one word that he gives you, can change your life just like that. Amen. Tell you to say, just like that. I promise you. Just one step of obedience. Who is it in your life right now that has caused you to take your mind off of God? Watch this. And now your whole thinking process is on this person. And you're trying to fix it. You know what I mean? Tonight, the Spirit of God just wants you to cooperate. Because the truth of the matter is, my brother, my sister, that the Bible says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anything that's so heavy that is weighing down your mind, weighing down your thinking, guess what? It doesn't belong to you. The Bible said, cast the whole of your care on the Lord because he cares for you. That means if you cast it, that means that it's not in your care any longer. It's not in your custody any longer. It doesn't belong to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We never experience God's reward because we're still trying to take care of it ourselves. And God wants to make restitution for damage done and pain and harm and hurt that's been caused to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I'm telling you, this is a supernatural principle right here. It means that you're going to step out of the way and allow God to work on your behalf. Lord, have mercy, man. This is good teaching, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it has set people free because most of us get locked up, get incarcerated, get in debt, you know what I'm saying, make bad decisions, make bad choices, make bad relationships based upon us trying to fix everything. And God just wants us to get out the way. Man, that's powerful. One more scripture. Ready? Look at Romans 12 and 20. Turn there. Romans, that's in the New Testament. Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. Somebody learning something tonight? Tell your neighbor, cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Look at, whew, my God. Jesus, my God. Look at verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That means don't repay evil for evil. Take it and say, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Look at this right here. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with how many men? All men. That means the ones that you like and the ones that you dislike. Learn how to live peaceably with people. Watch what's going to happen here. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. This is powerful. Don't try to fix the problem. You hear me, Carlos? But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Whew. This is powerful. Now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this based out of experience. Hear what I'm saying? You'll never see God's hand move until you move. Watch this right here. Look at the last verse right here. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. 21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Anybody who got a halfway piece of peon brain in their head understands that if you take fire and mix it with fire, all you're going to get is more fire. If you take evil and try to overcome evil with evil, it's just going to get more evil. You overcome evil with what? Good. Guess what? It takes you and I out of the equation. This is powerful. It takes you and I out of the equation because when we get in the way, we hinder what God is trying to do. This is in every area of your life. It's at your job. You know what I mean? I was on the phone with the lady. Let me just say this right here, because I'm going to close. I was on the phone with her when I was talking to her. I was trying to convince her. I know in my heart that what she was saying was incorrect. I know. And I'm sitting there like, I'm trying to take up for myself. I'm like, I'm a pastor. There's no need for me to tell you a lie. I know, listen, I know that this is probably making you feel like, you know, this is not good, but I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Then pretty soon I'm trying to prove myself to her. My wife used to tell me that. She said, you make me feel like I had to prove myself to you. And I had to stop doing that. And I'm still working on it. Ain't I, babe? I'm still getting better. I'm getting a little bit better. Amen. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, you know, sometimes, you know what I mean? You feel like you got to prove yourself to people. And I was trying to prove myself. And then God said, shut up. He said, shut up. Do you trust me? I know you're telling the truth. Am I talking to somebody tonight? I know you're telling the truth. Don't try to convince her that you're telling the truth. Do you believe that when you bless her, even though she called you what she called you, that I'm going to take care of it? See, that's the question. Is my intimacy with God to the place where I can really trust him? Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Whew, this is powerful tonight, ain't it? And see, these are the areas that the Spirit of God, listen, the Spirit of God want to take us and excel us. And take us higher. Amen. This is in every area of life. Listen, the first place that you'll learn how to exercise this principle right here of, amen, doing things in secret. This is what it means. Let me just show you something right here. This is real easy. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians. Somebody tell me the time. What time is it? It's 8:30. Amen. Here we go. This is it, y'all. I just want to give this to you, and then we can, you know, shut him down. Y'all learning something tonight? This is good teaching. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see verse 17 right here. Ready? It says, whatsoever you do in word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do. Somebody say, whatsoever. Now watch this. I'm gonna throw some whatsoevers out there to you. I'm talking about being a husband is a whatsoever. Being a wife is a whatsoever. Being a teenager is a whatsoever. You got to do teenage. You got to do husband. You know, you could say, I am a husband, but guess what? If people understood what the word husband means, it means two words, house band. It means he who bands his house together. If there's no house band, then guess what? There's going to be a rubber band, amen? And then the whole house will be disbanded without a house band. So if you say you're a husband, you have to band your house together, amen? So being a husband is also doing a husband. Vice versa, wife also, amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. At your job, if you are the French fry guy, amen. If you are the mop person, amen. If you are the CEO or the COO or the CFO, whatever it is that you are, in whatever capacity of work that you do, somebody say do. The Bible says, whatsoever you do here, in word or in deed, do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's what the problem is right here. Here's the problem right here. Most of us do things unto people. But Jesus wants you to take your attention off of the person that you're doing it to and get your attention on him. I'm trying to help you tonight. Watch this right here. It says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then he give you instructions. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well, pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children unto anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Watch this right here. I want you to underline this part right here. Not with eye service. As what? But in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now look at verse 23. This is powerful right here. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the what? Reward. Who are you going to get the reward from? Now watch this right here. I can love my wife based upon, watch this right here, based upon her love for me, or she can love me based upon my love for her. And one day, Pastor Rosie going to get discouraged because she's going to find out that I am limited. And then I'm going to find out that she is limited. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's everybody in this room. And this is why divorce happens. I'm talking about some deep stuff. This is why families are destroyed and tore apart. Because you went into a relationship expecting something from somebody that they probably were incapable of producing without God. So when I love my wife, I have to bypass my wife and tap into not what she has for me, but what God has for me. I'm trying to show you something here. And she has to do the same thing with me. Because if I try to love her out of my limited love without loving her out of God's love, then guess what? I'm going to disappoint her. Shoot, I've been having God for 20 years and I still disappoint her. Amen. I'm not trying to put us on Front Street. I'm trying to show you something. It's going to help your relationship because guess what? You won't put expectations on people like that no more. You'll start doing whatever you do as unto the Lord. And this is where we get into the principle called no strings attached. You know people like that. When they give it with a string attached. When they do something, they do it with a string attached. And guess what? It might be a year from now. I remember this lady. I'm going to close with this. I remember this lady at our church. Old church was going. My wife and I was extremely poor. And we was going to this church, and it was like, how do we even survive in this church? You know, there was a particular woman in this church, and she was kind of successful, and she had a daughter, beautiful little daughter, and she saw our daughter, amen, and then she gave us a bunch of bags of clothes, and we was like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost. And guess what? My daughter came one Sunday, and she was looking so beautiful, one of those outfits on, and that little girl walked right up to my daughter and said, oh, you look good in my outfit. And my wife snapped. She snapped. I mean, Holy Ghost wasn't even around there. She snapped. Amen. Here's the point. That little girl had to get that from her mama. And see, a lot of times people do things with eye service. They don't mind praying as long as other people around to see them pray. They don't mind reading as long as other people around to see them read. They don't mind giving as long as other people are around to see them give. Amen. Matter of fact, some people will let you know what they gave. Hey, Pastor, did you recognize my gift today? I'm trying to show you something. That kind of person is a man pleaser. They will never receive a reward from God. Jesus said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That means if you're going to love your wife, love her as unto the Lord. If you're going to love your husband, love him as unto the Lord. If you're going to work your job, don't work your job for your boss, because your boss is going to make you mad one day. But if you do it as unto Jesus and realize that that paycheck that I get is not my source, that paycheck is just a resource. God is my source, and my reward comes from God. So guess what? Now I got some seed to sow. And I command it to go and grow. I'm trying to show you something right here. Guess what? That's why we stay mad at other people, because we expect people to do something for us. But when you get to the place in your life where you realize that your reward don't come from your wife, your husband, your children, your granny, your grandpappy, your boss, your friend, your next door neighbor, your reward comes from God. That means you'll start walking in love with everybody that's around you, based upon what God tells you to do. Watch this. This is love perfected. Because they can treat you bad and you'll still walk in love towards them. They can talk about you bad and you'll still walk in love towards them. Lord have mercy. Come on, somebody stand to your feet. Get the Lord a hand clap. I'm telling you, this is powerful. Tell you, he said, neighbor, I'm going to do everything I do as unto the Lord. Now that don't mean disrespect people now, because some of us will be like, you know what? Hey, Brother Marvin, I'm giving you this $100 bill, and the only reason I'm giving it to you because the Lord told me to. No, that's all right. That's all right. Zip it up in the name of the Lord. I'm just playing. But are you catching what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We'll do it as unto the Lord. But what God wants us to do is, he don't want us to be man pleasers. He wants us to be God pleasers. Amen. Amen. Bow your head for a minute.